Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. It's the merry month of May. It's the first Monday in May. It's May 2nd, 2022. We're in our 12th year here with our radio program and 34th year on TV and radio here in Tucson. Our program broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, the call letters KVOI. Our worldwide live listening, that means you can listen to the program, well, anywhere in the world, as long as you have a computer. Just go to buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which will be coming up later in the program, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Every Monday, we kick off the Buckmaster Show, and we talk politics. It's our Monday political face-off. Today's team of commentators, seated to my right, Bill Maynard is here, former chairman of Legislative District Number 11 for Pima County Republican Party. That district is now called what, Bill?
We morphed into a 17, LD 17.
LD 17. Yep. And Bill is now head of the Northwest Republican Association. Bill, when you were on the program, you talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and you've already grown to 130 members.
That's correct, yes.
Wow.
I expect we'll be by 200 and by the end of the month.
Well,
conservatively.
Sounds like a lot of people interested. Brian Bickle is here. Brian is seated to my left. Brian is the treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Brian ran for Pima County Supervisor in District 1 against Allie Miller in 2016. Then he ran for Pima County Treasurer in 2020, narrowly was defeated. And at one point, he was ready to give his victory speech. Or he'd already written out his victory speech, and I don't blame him, because Brian, you were leading there going into the wee hours, and then things turned around, but whatever.
Yeah, it was an interesting set of circumstances this year, kind of backwards from it normally is. Normally we look for Democratic voters to turn up putting ballots in the box at the polling locations, and in 2020, it was the Republicans that all held onto their mail-in ballots and put them in the box at the end. So it was an interesting experience, and I enjoyed it, a lot of work. But I've told people, if you really want to learn something practical, run for public office. You'd be surprised how little you know.
That's great.
Yeah. Speaking of Arizona voters, they may have to, it's very confusing. Right now, it looks like there could be three vastly different and often conflicting approaches for future elections. One effort seeks to expand voting access, while a second effort, pushed by Republican lawmakers, calls for new voter ID requirements. And then there's a third campaign seeking to curb early voting in the state. Generally, Bill Maynard, not only is it confusing, but let me ask you this. Is some of this necessary, do you think?
I don't think so. And it is very confusing. Yeah, as I've said earlier, you right. almost need a flowchart, at least I do, to finally keep up with what's going on there.
Yeah.
But you got a lot of disgruntled people so
yeah.
with the process, but I'm not sure we've got good answers.
But you believe some of it's necessary.
I do. Uh-huh.
Why is that?
Well, I think there's a problem with early, you would expect me to say this, with the early voting and the ballots. And I think it's a good idea to have the voter ID, date of birth, and so forth on mail-in ballots. I think that's extremely important. And doing away with the, it's not necessary to have the alternate IDs to the photo ID, which passed into law. So I think that's a good reform as well.
It would limit, Brian, drop-off ballots. Well, generally, what do you think of all this movement to kind of change voting?
Some of it, I think, is kind of innocuous and doesn't cause a lot of problems. Some of it, I think a lot of it's a solution in search of a problem. We haven't, and I've spent, I'm starting my eighth year on the Pima County Election Integrity Commission. which is a commission set up by the Board of Supervisors that's actually tripartisan. Every political party that's registered or a recognized political party in Pima County has a seat on the commission.
Libertarian,
Republican, and Democrat.
Mm-hmm. It's called the Pima County Voting Integrity Committee?
Pima County Election Integrity Commission.
Okay,
was set up by the Board of Supervisors in response to problems that occurred during the 2006 bond issue.
Mm-hmm.
I spend, when I'm not on the ballot and I'm not allowed in the building, I spend my time down at elections monitoring the tabulation process, observing the election boards. I can tell you it's changed a lot over the last several election cycles. The first time I went in there, we looked at racks and racks and racks of blank ballots that we had to have printed ahead of time in case we had spoiled ballots. Somebody put the ballot down, put their coffee on top of the ballot, the coffee spilled on the ballot, the machine couldn't read it. The only way you could tabulate it was to make an exact copy, and that was done by boards of two people of differing political parties, making sure that it was done accurately, and a fairly sophisticated process. So, I've watched enough of the tabulating and the voting process to feel fairly comfortable with what we've got in place. Can we make it better? Probably. You can always make things better, but I think it's something I'd like to give a lot more thought to, rather than have a knee-jerk reaction to something that we think happened that may or may not have happened.
Mm-hmm. We have this e-voting centers that are going to be coming online too in Pima County. You think we're ready for that?
E-poll books? Well,
yeah,
we're the only county in the state of Arizona that doesn't use them.
Right.
Part of that, I will give the credit to the Democratic recorder who's no longer in office. F. Ann Rodriguez was not a fan of e-poll books.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did polling observation, we were doing a trial run with e-poll books, and it was early on in their lifetime, and there were some significant problems, and she opted not to move forward with them. To the best of my knowledge, she never took another look at them. I think we've come a long way. I know the e-poll books that we've got now, and I think as of last week, they had about 200 of the 400 that they're going to use. But one of the things that's very interesting about it is give them your driver's license. They stick it in the e-poll book, and it reads all the information off the back of your driver's license. Mm. They are working on getting it to read military ID cards as well. So, and I believe they're trying to get it to the point where it could read tribal identification cards. So, there's a lot of people that don't like it because they say it's susceptible to hacking. We were talking before we went on the air about being invested in the stock market. I said I'd be more concerned about somebody taking all my money than I am trying to take away my vote. It's a question of how comfortable you are with technology. And
Bill, I know the Republican Party locally does not favor these electronic voting centers.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's a big unknown to me personally. Mm-hmm. I can see I'm not technology adverse at all. Just the opposite.
Right.
My first.
I tend to lean in your camp on that one.
Yes.
But no, we had Jan Lesher on, the county administrator, on Friday, and she says that so far they're hoping to move forward and get it all ready for the election, but there is, it could be a delay. There could be a delay.
And that's one of the concerns that we have if something prevents it from going into place for the August 2nd primary,
right.
Do we have a backup plan?
Uh-huh.
It's going to be tough to tell because the biggest difference, and it has nothing to do with the e-poll books, you could actually do some voting without the e-poll books, but you can't, at the last minute, you can't move from the identified contracted
sure.
vote centers, and I'll turn that off.
Being a former Marine, it sounded like your ringer on your cell phone Marine Corps hymn.
It was.
Okay.
But the biggest problem you're going to have is we've got 200, and, well, if we had precinct polling places in all of them, we've got 259 precincts that would all have a polling location and 129 vote centers. Mm. So logistically, if something goes wrong, that would be the biggest issue.
But Bill, you just don't like this move into the e-polling.
I don't, but for just exactly what Brian's outlined there, that for that exact reasons, how they communicate, how well they communicate, what kind of load, you know, no load testing has really been done, and I'm sure it's better than, I'd love to see a process that would work, but I'm skittish about it. I just can't get my brain around it. I'm concerned about the communications.
You know, one of those three measures that I talked about that would be on the ballot would limit the drop-off ballots. Bill, you have a problem with the drop-off ballots, don't
Absolutely,
you?
I do.
Yeah. What's your main concern?
Well, there's a lack of control. Anybody can drop. I mean, you it's ripe for ballot harvesting and so forth.
Collecting a bunch of ballots and dropping them off for somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does happen. I mean, it does happen. You know, if you've got a remote site like that, it's an invitation for fraud, in my book.
Not in my book. And it's probably one of the most significant differences between the Republican. I mean, it was the MO of the Democratic Party before they made it illegal to do ballot harvesting. And it was basically, if you've got a bunch of people in a nursing home that have no way to get their ballot, and they waited too long to mail it, we looked at it as a service that we were collecting
providing a service.
Dropping them off, yeah. The opportunity for fraud, I think, is the opportunity for fraud that you have with any paper ballot is if somebody can get a hold of the ballot, erase one of the bubbles that you colored in and mark one to your favor, to their liking.
Bill, you don't like that.
Oh, no. Here, let me help you when you vote. You know? I can see that to play it out, yeah.
Yeah, but
it happened in my mother's nursing home.
It did?
It happened, yeah, in Georgia.
Someone collected a ballot from your mother's nursing home?
Yeah, collected ballots, and they were changed.
Wow. Well, why don't we talk about something we all agree on? Mona's Danish Bakery. How's that for a transition? Mona's Danish Bakery. Both of our guests agree that Mona's Danish Bakery is our go-to bakery here on the Buckmaster Show, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Brian, what could you go for right now? What would taste good to you?
Oh, a nice fresh croissant.
A croissant? Sounds good. With chocolate filling or almond?
Absolutely.
You could go for the chocolate croissant?
Yeah.
What about coffee?
Dark roast.
There you go. Bill, would you like something sweet?
Always. If you take a good look at me, you can tell. Yeah,
well,
I do like it.
It sounds like anything in the bakery case.
Just about anything. Going in and smelling it.
There you go. All right. Mona's Danish Bakery. They take the day off on Monday, but they need a day of rest. And they are, of course, open Tuesday through Sunday. They're open at 6:30 in the morning. The owner and chief baker, Steve, is ready to let in the folks who are usually in line, ready to wait to get those wonderful pastries and some dark roast coffee. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. That means that Moe will come out and make sure everything is on the wall the way you want it to be. Yes, he makes house calls. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at MoesGallery.com. Our Monday political face-off team of commentators today. Brian Bickle is with us. Brian is the treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. He's currently also on the Pima County Voter Integrity Commission.
Election Integrity Commission.
Election Integrity Commission. And we thank him for that service. Bill Maynard is here, former chair of the former legislative district number 11 for the Pima County GOP. And he's now heading up what is turning out to be a very successful Republican club in the Oro Valley Marana area. It's the Northwest Republican Association. We were talking during the break, Bill and Brian, about one of the candidates that would, the Republican candidate who would like to become the new Secretary of State, would like to have hand counting of ballots. You think that's just impossible?
Logistically, I can't see how you could get it. I mean, we have people complaining that it takes us 2 weeks after Election Day to come up with election results now, and there's some reasons that it takes that long. But if you tried to hand count 3 million plus ballots in the state of Arizona, you'd have to hire a whole lot of people to get it done in a reasonable period of time. And you know, one of the interesting things, we're required by statute to do a hand count audit of the machine counted ballots the Saturday after Election Day, and we know how many ballots the machine counted in any given batch. And you'd be amazed at how many times the audit boards have to recount the ballots to get to the point where they agree with the machine. Mm. And pretty much every time we figured out the machine was right and we were wrong.
Yeah. Even Republican leaders like J.D. Mesnard, who was on our show, Bill Maynard, a couple of weeks ago, J.D. said it's just not, he didn't think it would be feasible to hand count them. What do you think?
Well, it would certainly be a challenge, absolutely, for all the reasons that Brian laid out there. There's so many variations on the theme. You don't have one ballot statewide. You don't even have one ballot precinct-wide. Mm-hmm. So you get, you know, it exponentially the problem grows. I'm adverse to total machine counting. I would like to see it worked out as a way that we could do more hand counting of them. But the machine worries me.
This is a tough time, Brian Bickle. Well, it's a tough time for a lot of Americans, but it's especially a really tough time for Democrats. How are the Democrats, how in the world, how are they going to sell themselves before this midterm election? What's going to be the selling point here? You've got crime, inflation, the Russia's war in Ukraine, immigration. A lot of people just very discontent.
You're right. They are. And yeah. And there's a number of things that I think we've done reasonably well on, and some mm-hmm. things that are out of our control. And a lot of it is the Democrats figuring out how to tell the people what we did that was good and taking the blame for what we did that was bad. I'm sure there are people that blame the Russian war in the Ukraine on the Democratic Party, but don't know that we had anything to do with what Putin started over there. It's contributed to inflation. I won't say that it's the sole reason that we've got the inflation that we've got, but we've gone a significant period of time without any significant inflation. And I can remember when I was a kiddo, that was a concern of all the people that I knew at that time that were grown up, is your income keeping up with the inflation rate? So
yeah, that was back in the 70s. Yeah. Last time we had Bill, what's the selling point for Republicans? It seems like you've got a much easier sell than Democrats have.
Well, again, to quote the old Democrat line, it's the economy, stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, inflation, there was a poll yesterday, you may have seen it, Washington Post, ABC News, that 94% of Americans are concerned about inflation. And you look at and you see the 8.54 inflation rate. Well, that doesn't include fuel or energy and food, which is huge. I mean, we're probably right up against 18-19% real, you know, the way it used to be calculated there. Everybody's seeing their heating bills go through the roof. There's concern about safety and crime. We're talking about Ukraine being invaded. We're being invaded in this country, coming across the southern border. I mean, you've got 3 million people in the last 14 months or so forth has come across. More than 18 states, more than the city of Chicago. So, yeah, there's some major issues there.
I take umbrage with the 3 million number as far as people coming across the border. And one of the reasons you've got the numbers coming across the border is Title 42. Because right now, when people come across illegally under Title 42, they can pack them up and ship them back into Mexico, which is what they do, and there's no adverse activity for the people that turn right around and come back in again. I mean, you could have 5,000 people coming over four times a day. Well, that's 20,000 people they've apprehended. No, it's 5,000 people they've apprehended four times. So, you know, there's different ways to count that. And
we should point out what Title 42, it was a pandemic era health policy that lets the Border Patrol agents turn back asylum seekers because of potential health risk that they present.
That's correct. Yeah. And I think that's one thing that people overlook too, is Title 42 is not an immigration policy. Title 42 is a public health policy. Mm-hmm. And We have no more mask mandates. We have no vaccine mandates. We have no cautions about social distancing.
So it makes sense for you to get rid of the Title 42.
So why do we keep Title 42 in place?
What do you think, Bill? Should we keep it in place?
Yeah, I think it'll just, I think it's the signal that it sets, mm-hmm. that, you know, one more barrier has been removed. You've already got the administration ordering federal agents not to enforce federal law, and everybody knows that. And you give them a cell phone as they cross there. So they call their friends and say, hey, come on up. The water's fine. Come on across right now. So, yeah, it's there is a huge problem on the border, whether it's 2 million, 3 million. It's significant. And I'll give you the fact that, yeah, we may be double counting, but regardless, it's a disaster.
Well,
Brian, okay. Quickly.
You know, the Democrat, Republican, both parties need to get off the dime and come up with a revised immigration policy.
Okay.
I totally agree with that.
I think
I would
make that unanimous.
We could work it out.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen to us, Brian.
For sure. There you go. Work it out right here on the Monday Political Face-Off. Gentlemen, thank you very much. The Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. I've got some of them in my home. They're beautiful. Art for your walls. They've got beautiful art there, including some of the beautiful photography from Mo. He will come out, Mo, and make a house call, make sure everything, after they frame it up, make sure it goes on the wall properly. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Green Things, our go-to place for everything green, 3384 East River Road. They're in their 51st year of business. They're open daily. Their 13-acre site has everything you need for your spring gardening. And when you're there, stop by Zocalo Village. Some beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, and some items from Europe as well. Tour the five shops at Zocalo Village the next time you are over buying your beautiful green things at Green Things, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Let's utilize our live line to join Keith Rosenblum, longtime border reporter, who is our contributor on the border, and this is his monthly border report. Keith, how are you?
Bill, I continue to be the seer when it comes to anything Mexican.
Well, the presidents of the two countries, the United States and Mexico, got together to talk about immigration or migration. And, you know, I was just reflecting on this, Keith, in more than a half century being involved in news gathering, the communications business, it's always pretty much fix the border, fix immigration. Is there such a thing as fixing immigration between the United States and Mexico?
No.
Thank you.
Go on to another topic.
Thank you.
I'm tempted always when you ask me a question to pontificate.
Yes.
And it does make me feel good to force you and listeners to listen to me drone on. There is no solution. It's all a question of degrees. And I can remember the Wall Street Journal in the 1990s saying, why are we trying to fix a problem that doesn't need to be fixed? And even today, President Lopez Obrador at his morning press conference, as you'll recall, and this could be a sign of mental illness or it could be a sign of Keith's shrewdness. I'm not sure which.
I know that you've been monitoring those news conferences every day, five times a week. You listen for 2 to 3 hours to the president of Mexico's news.
That's what's reduced me to pretty much an intolerable. That's why people like yourself don't call anymore. Because I'll say you will not believe what the president said at this morning's press conference. And nobody cares. I'll go into a McDonald's. I'll go into some of your sponsors' place and just start a conversation. And they'll say, please take those strange dalliances away from us. Go elsewhere. So anyway, at today's press conference, the man did once again say that during the conversation with President Biden, that he once again went to bat for the Mexicans who live in the U.S. And Lopez Obrador does that almost daily. He will talk about how he's the president of 125 million, but he says we have 40 or 45 million more of our compatriots. I'm trying to remember what the word paisanos he uses, who are in the United States, who are abroad. That's our diaspora. And we need to be backing them, and we need to be supporting them. We need to make sure the United States is treating them justly, which is ironic, of course, because Mexico's constitution says you won't intervene in anyone else's politics. Mm-hmm. But the president quite frequently, and when things are to his convenience, he'll put that rule aside and absolutely criticize Republican legislators for their stance on immigration issues. Yes, Bill, that issue comes up. And as long as the numbers aren't torrential, as long as the numbers are workable, as it is, don't forget, we've upped the Border Patrol now towards one of our largest federal agencies. When I came to Arizona, there were 1,000, I think. I don't know what we are. We must be around 20,000 now. It's always an issue. So as you increase the size, what you do, again, is you diminish the ratio. That is how many attempts it takes to come to get to the United States. So maybe when I first started coming here, it was 1 in 2 or 1 in 3, and today maybe it's 1 in 4 or 5. It's who you know. It's where the payoffs take place. It's whether the tunnel that you're going to go through is monitored at that point. It's really, there's a lot of risk analysis.
Yeah.
You need a good risk analyst to help you decide when you want to cross over. But the numbers are, to me, they're unimpressive. They don't matter. They don't affect you at your studio today. They don't affect Keith. They really don't affect our employment situation in the U.S. is such that we need them legally or illegally. We sure could use them. And we turn the other way when the people that show up to do our landscaping, our contractors, we don't ask them for proof of ID because we need our palm trees cleaned and our gardens manicured. And so when they come and they say, here's what's going to cost you, and you know we're contractors, then we're fine with that. So we have we'll just call it a tolerant slash, and these are people, and nannies as well. You can remember all the nanny gate issues. If someone's going to care for your children or grandchildren, what's important to you at the moment of making a decision is who's going to be best for him or her. And the last thing on your mind is this person here legally?
But then you have the sheriff of Cochise County testifying in Washington saying that border crime is at, quote, an all-time high.
Well, you have a sheriff in Cochise County who wants to bring attention to himself. Border, and our FBI, all of our stats are unreliable anyway, and they can be skewed to a particular. It's not apocalyptic, as we state, and the Mexicans have been working with us. The numbers just aren't that, they're not as grotesque as anyone makes it sound. Now, if you live in the border, yes. If you're in Cochise County, but we have lots of ways we control things, and we have drones that monitor every single person's movement, and we have sensors in the ground. So yes, but it's a manageable. We're not talking about Ukrainian refugees going to Warsaw. We're talking about a dribble still in relative terms. And our ultimate goal has to be to help the Mexican economy, which is actually quite strong, doesn't need much of our help. And then the Central American economies, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, even Panama, even some of the places that are closer to Dominican Republic, to have strong economies. And then they'll end up, and Mexico has a huge population of people who are coming from Central and South America to work in Mexico. They don't necessarily, they don't need a 3 or 4 times quantum leap in income to be comfortable. They just need something that's above subsistence.
And then there's this whole thing over what's called Title 42, which is something that the CDC put in place. It really was health-related, to let the Border Patrol agents turn back asylum seekers because of potential health risks.
Correct.
That they could present. And that is apparently going away, Keith Rosenblum, May 23rd.
Yep. Well, all these things are dizzying, and they all... So many things come from the world of the laws of unintended consequences, and history is that way. It's filled with lots of things that you didn't know at that moment were catalyst for, you know, it takes one guy to give a speech, and now you have an invasion of the Capitol. And the guy in the speech didn't even say, go take the Capitol. It just said, we're not going to stand for this. We need to be patriots. You need to fight. So lots of things hang on little itty-bitty threads. Lots of things happen with a single incendiary a comment, and it may not even have been intended, or may have been couched in a way. And there's incidents like that all the time along the border. Who would have thought what are we talking about? The green, what am I thinking of in the Middle East, Bill, where you had the movement of the Arab nations in the early you know, and then Tiananmen Square. There's lots of seminal moments that that people are do want them to happen. They don't want them to happen, but you don't realize at the moment their significance. And that could end up, that public health thing on May 22nd could end up being a huge catalyst. We could end up with lots of people here, or we could have it, you know, we'd be braced for it and be ready to control it and maybe up the number of people who we're seeing. I know that we do have a double standard. No, you know, ask anybody. For the Ukrainians who have been at Tijuana, Nogales, Ciudad Juarez, Tamaulipas, and Nuevo Laredo, they do get preferential and expedited treatment. But that's the way things are. And there's lots of things that occur just because that's the way they are. Who's going to move in and, you know, kind of ruffle feathers?
All right, Keith, stick around. I need to take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show, our first Monday in May. Be right back with Keith Rosenblum, who not only is a longtime border report, but also served for a while as a congressional aide to longtime Southern Arizona Congressman Jim Colby. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Plan a visit. If you really want to get away, and who doesn't these days, plan a visit over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a three-hour drive. Not bad at all, and lots to do over there. Hiking weather, for sure. Temperatures in the 70s, perfect with that mile-high elevation of about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Great hiking weather. For more on what to do, and there are a lot of opportunities to recreate in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, as well as some great places to stay, visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Keith Rosenblum is with us. He's been covering the border for a long time, not only in the media, but also helping out Congressman Jim Colby, longtime Republican congressman from Southern Arizona. For a while, Keith served as the Southern Arizona representative for Congressman Colby. Keith, how is the congressman doing these days?
Well, as of 2 months ago, mm-hmm. when we spoke, he sounded healthier and happier, and I would venture to say the past is the past. I think Jim's very happy not to be in the political world. I think he's also, I know because he told me this. He says, Keith, I can't believe what's happened to my party. I'm no longer a Republican.
Wow.
So he is horrified, really, at the direction that the rest of the party went. He lived it at a different time. There were still portents of it, but it wasn't the way it is now. And Jim, who is he's an empirical kind of person. He loves to see data. And he loves for people to tell him truths. He loves when people go to testify that they don't go off on bizarre fictions and expect for people in Congress to believe it. He goes back to where, and Jim, actually, I asked him this question, Bill, so I'm glad you asked me because I feel guilty having this bit of knowledge in me and not being able to share the anecdote with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Jim says, if you want to look at where the real nastiness begins, it starts with when we allowed people to vote absentee.
Wow.
Isn't that
interesting? That is a very interesting point.
That the lack of looking people in the eye, the lack of touching them, the lack of them seeing the facial expression that you just made is the beginning of the downfall of civility. I love that.
Wow.
I'm a people person. And I can tell you from having been Jim's, and I could spend three of your programs discussing my critiques of Jim. Loyalty does not exist in the Keith Rosenblum world, at least that kind. I'll tell you all the reasons he was not the guy that I wish I'd worked for. On the other hand, the reasons he was the guy that I love working for outnumber those things significantly. And he says that the end of civility begins with the lack of touch. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I went with Jim. If I believe he may have made less than minimum wage when he was a congressman. He went to every baptism, every quinceañera, every bar mitzvah, every wedding, every grand opening of one of your clients. You name it. And Jim Colby was there. If there's ever been a man for whom the word ubiquitous applied,
yeah.
Jim.
Wow.
He went to everything. And I can't tell you the number of times people came up to us at whatever event it was, and they would say, Congressman, just want to let you know. And it became like a joke. I think I actually did stand-up on this in the office. Congressman, I disagree with you. I disagree with you on, and then they'd go through basically every issue of the day. I disagree with you on immigration. I disagree with you on Iraq policy. I disagree with you on the tax reform. I disagree with you on, I disagree with the clothes you're wearing, Jim Colby, but you know what? I like you.
Yeah.
And you got my vote. Isn't that cool? And
it
that is.
Is
what Jim, and I think there's a book. I think I told Jim he had to write a book and he said, no, he's not going to. And I didn't push any harder than that, but I believe that issue. And I believe what Jim says is also a parallel to the world of social networking. The Bill Buckmaster who knows that he can get away with saying things online to all the adversaries at other channels or, you know, other radio frequencies, the guy who appears to be a very civil guy when I run into him at the supermarket, when he's left to his own in his, you know, remote Sonoyta or Silver City setting, is an entirely different man, right?
He's an
embittered steamer.
Nope. I do not talk politics on Facebook, I'll tell you that.
Well,
anyway.
Yeah, that was what Jim said. So if you answer your question is, you look great, you sounded great, He laments where we are as a society and is despondent, as we all should be.
Let me clarify something. So he's saying that the whole thing of absentee or mail-in ballots was kind of the
beginning. No. He's talking about within the Congress itself.
Oh, God. Okay. Clarify that.
He's talking about having Paul Gosar right next to you.
Oh, okay.
He's talking. I'm sorry about that. I should have been more specific.
Okay. Clarify it there for us.
What Jim Colby said is that the downfall of civility in Congress, which has lots of repercussions, is the end of requirement of in-person voting in the House of Representatives.
Gotcha.
That is when you didn't have to look your colleague in the eye, and you could scheme and be angry and be, and that is the, not the beginning, we won't go to that point. That is the perpetuation of the partisanship or the rancor or the adversarial nature of every single issue. That if you hadn't permitted that, and you'd required the House to be in session and that your vote counted when you were there, and I don't know, I'll track for the next time we talk, I'll find you what that rule, when that was implemented. But therein is the onset of incivility.
Yeah, because that was my next question. How long has that been in effect, that absentee?
I will call Jim Colby. Well, I don't have to. I'll go online and find out. I won't bother Jim with a question that can be answered in a Google search.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that is a very... At first, when you said absentee, I was thinking like...
That was on me to clarify.
Absentee ballots, but it has nothing to do with...
Absentee voting, not ballots.
Yeah.
Absentee voting within the House of Representatives.
Yes.
I think Jim's view on absentee voting is perfectly fine. I don't know. I haven't asked him about it, but I don't think he has any issue with it. He probably votes absentee himself, as do I, most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting because nothing like seeing someone eye to eye. And of course, that used to be the way it had to be. You had to be in the chamber to cast your vote, and then they changed it. I don't know if that was something that came out, perhaps out of the pandemic, but
I don't know. No, it's way before then.
It is
because Jim will date it. We'll find out. Okay, we'll leave that as a for the 90% of your listeners that will not look it up. I'll do that for him, and we'll be ready for the next session. Or I'll even provide it to you ahead of time, because a month is a long time to wait for that tidbit.
Okay, sounds good. So, Keith, generally on the border, things is business starting to pick up now post-pandemic?
Business in Mexico itself is dynamic. I want you to one day move your whole cabin, or at least your whole person, to Mexico to do some shows. There is no more prosperous economy in the world right now than Mexico. In the U.S., we're doing quite well. The problem is, where your question is best answered, is starting at Morley Avenue or Grand Avenue in Nogales, where there's nothing going on. And the answer to that question is, why is there nothing going on in the border? Is because those merchants, the retail merchants, don't know what to do with their buildings. The Mexicans don't need our clothes anymore. They get it already delivered to them there. There's not a lot of advantages now to shop in the U.S. if you're a foreigner. So what do you do with all this retail space that's right there? If you convert those to an Amazon warehouse, or if you put Starbucks, lining Morley Avenue or Grand or Crawford, maybe there's hope. But I would say this. I would say that Mexico itself, absolutely prosperous. Nobody's wanting for a job. There's lots of issues that people have to confront every day, some of them unique to Mexico, some of them universal. And the amount of cross-border business, huge. Look what happened the other day when Governor Abbott, put a kibosh on the truck traffic in Texas. I mean, those were things that riots were made of. Mm-hmm. So that's a reminder just how dependent we all are. And I think I've said this before, that if I had X amount of money to go start a business, anywhere that I know of, I would dollar for dollar, I'd go plop it down in Mexico.
All right. Keith Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Thanks, Keith. Stay well.
That's my honor. Bye-bye.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. The first Monday in May, the merry month of May, we are off and running on behalf of Keith Rosenblum and John, engineering and producing the show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Stick around. Dave Ramsey's very popular show talking about your money and how to keep it. That's coming up next on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.